Almighty God, as your word is proclaimed, as your text is explored, may you enter our hearts and our minds to be more like you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So today's text kind of surprised me this past Monday as I began to look at what the text for the week was out of the lectionary. And I was telling my wife this yesterday. In seminary, the one thing they don't teach you is how do you come up with new material 48 weeks out of the year, at least? And how do you not repeat yourself? And so, oftentimes I talk about the Great Commission. I mean, it's why we exist as the church. But today's passage from Luke was really never for me the Great Commission. I never thought of it that way. I more thought of it as the time when Jesus appeared to his disciples. But, you know, looking through the curriculum for the children this week, they titled it the Great Commission. And so today we're going to explore that together, but I also want to read for you the Matthew text that I am sure many of us are familiar with. And it's in Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 16, ending with verse 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now I want you to remember, last week's sermon, we talked about doubt. We talked about Mother Teresa and how she had doubt, right? And Jesus came near and spoke to them, and I received all authority in heaven and earth, and therefore, check out the word here, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of the present age. Again, the familiar Great Commission text that we know. So today we're going to walk through the text, and I'm going to claim it on my dyslexia. We're going to walk through it backwards today. So we're going to walk through the text, but what is evangelism? What is evangelism? Evangelism is sharing that good news of Jesus, right? So I think there's really two methods of sharing Jesus with the world. The first one, which we have a picture of, if we can go to the next slide. I'm not sure who's controlling it today. Thank you. I call it the St. Francis method, right? Preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. And I think at a certain point, words are needed to share the gospel. But there are times where we are to mimic Jesus in every day of our life to the point that people know who Christ is by the way you treat them, by the way you talk to them. And I think of this as I read through the book of James. I love the book of James. James chapter 3, verses 9 to 10, and it says this: with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Right? We have to walk the walk as believers of Jesus. We've got to treat each other with love, right? That we love God and we love neighbor. It goes back to my Three Simple Rules book, right? I keep emphasizing this. And you don't have to read this book. You can if you want. Do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. I think all that makes sense for me this morning. But the second model that I believe, I'm going to call the milk carton model. The milk carton model. So I think of when you went to school and you were in line to get your lunch, and they had all the milk cartons in those little plastic containers. That's why I'm calling it this. You get on top of one of those, and you yell at people, and you tell them that they're going to go to hell, right? And you give them that hellfire brimstone that they need for their lives in that moment. And I believe there's times and places where both models are needed. Now, I can tell you, when we were youth pastors, most of the time we took the St. Francis model. But But I'll never forget this one time. I think it was Amanda in the back, actually. It wasn't even me. We were preaching to these kids at Bayou Blue, and she told them, she says, "You guys are going to hell if you don't accept Jesus," right? She was blunt in their face. They needed to hear it that clearly that day. There are times and places where being around the bush just is not worth it, that you have to tell people. But we go to the next slide, which is just my sermon title again. And when I was growing up, until seminary, I read about those circuit rider preachers in that at 20 or 30 years old would die because they cared so much about Jesus that they would go to the ends of the earth to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And today, the modern circuit riders, well, there's 20 and 30 year olds in India who ride on motorcycles preaching the good news across the countrysides of India. And I'm still not allowed to have a motorcycle, so that won't be me. I love you, Amanda. So, I love this, the hands-on approach, though. And I'm, again, I'm not trying to tell you stories or retell stories or make you think that I'm the greatest person in the world, but I just remember that experience that I had in my freshman year of college where I met these guys at 10 o'clock at night, and we left Gentilly Boulevard, which, again, is this really bad area in New Orleans, and we went down to Bourbon Street, and we went down to the French Quarter, and we preached Jesus to people that smelled, I mean, you could smell the alcohol on them. They were so intoxicated. They had just lost their money at casinos. They'd been at the strip joints. They'd been wherever you could think sin is there in New Orleans, sin is accessible, right? And they had been down on their luck, and there we were giving them Jesus. Giving them Jesus. And the 17-year-old, 18-year-old that I was, I have to admit, I was scared to go down there. And in fact, what was really scary is a cop came one time and threatened to arrest us all. Why? Because in the city of New Orleans at that time, we needed a permit to proselytize in the French Quarter. Okay? And so we got threatened with jail time if we came back without a permit. Talk about scary. Now, what I'm not telling you today is in order to evangelize, I need all of you to leave your homes at nighttime and find the scariest neighborhood in Baltimore City, to drive down there, get on a carton, and preach. I'm not telling you that. What I am telling you is that sometimes evangelism takes you out of your comfort, makes you uncomfortable, makes you scared. And again, I did not know what to expect that first trip down to the French Quarter. But I'll never forget this one lady. You guys know Dixie Beer. You guys are Lutheran, so you like beer, right? Dixie Beer is made in New Orleans, and what gives it its unique flavor is the Mississippi River water, right? It gives it that unique flavor. It just got, they just turned the, changed the name out of political correctness. But Dixie Beer, we walked up to Jackson Brewery, and there was this homeless lady that was camping out there. And I remember going to tell her about Jesus and her instead preaching the gospel to me. Right? She knew that Bible. She might have had some liquor on her breath and was out of it, but she knew the Word of God. She knew the Word of God, and she preached to me, and she was going through some hard times. But the point was, she was still faithful. She was still doing her best to be faithful, because even though we're sinners, God uses us, right? So in our first verse today, we're going to go through verses 47 and 48. Again, we're going to go the dyslexic model this morning. And it says this, that he commanded it by stating, "Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Now, again, if we go back to that Matthew text and we parallel the verses this morning, we would go to verses 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And what I want to parallel for us, if we look at those two texts, is the fact that it's a commandment from the Lord that we will preach and we will go therefore, right? That it is not a maybe, but a requirement of our faith in Jesus to go and make disciples, to go and preach, right? And you don't have to be a preacher necessarily to preach. We can substitute that word with teach or share. Any of those things that you feel that the Lord has equipped you to do, we need to be sharing the good news of Christ. And we don't want to venture into legalism. We know that it is through the grace of God alone that we are saved, and we can preach till we're blue in the face, and we'll never save ourselves. That's the work of the Lord. But we have good news. We have good news to share, and because we love God and we love our neighbor, we're going to proclaim the good news. And I hope that, again, this is the whole reason why we're in church, is we are not here to feel good. We're not here because we have to be here, I hope. We are here to be equipped to go into the world and to share the gospel, right? That is why we gather on a Sunday morning. This is what we call, I'm trying to avoid churchy words, but the edification of the saints, right? We are edified. We are molded. We are crafted on a Sunday morning. This is really not the place for non-believers in that sense. This is the place for the church body to gather to grow in our faith. And so that's what we're hoping to do this morning. Now, if there's a non-believer here this morning, I have no problem with, you know, talking to you, and hopefully through this word, you will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But through the years, I have received lots of excuses of why we choose not to evangelize. Now, last Sunday, I shared what the Lutheran model of evangelism was for at least the last 100 years, and that was to have babies, right? And we know, as Lutherans in North America, we are a little bit older, and not so many people are having babies. Rodney Keene offered to help with the babies coming into the church. You know, that's going to be his new ministry. So, and Dennis back there, I know he'd help. But we have to today. We have to go out and get out of our comfort zones to share the gospel, because having babies is not the only way to evangelize. Okay. I've heard people say, well, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I don't know how to share my faith. I'm not a Mormon on a bicycle in the white shirts, right? And let me tell you, we can learn a lot from them. They don't believe in the same gospel that we preach. They don't. I'm here to say that. But their understanding of going out and spreading the good news is there, right? And so I hope that we can do the same, that we feel okay with maybe going door to door, maybe getting on a bicycle, sharing Jesus with your friends and your family members. I hear all the time different clubs people belong to. There's one, a bunch of our members belong to the Genealogy Club, I guess, here in Baltimore. That could be a place that you share Jesus. It could be the karate school once they actually let parents go into with their kids in the future. I'd love to be able to share Jesus with some of those parents if they don't know him. But no, I understand that there is a risk in sharing the gospel. But we all understand and believe, I hope, that the church has always thrived when it's persecuted. There are churches that the police department come in on a Sunday morning and shut it down. Or in China, where they literally bulldoze churches on a Sunday morning with people inside. It's an interesting time that we live in. People can lose their jobs if they share Jesus in the workplace here in North America. But that doesn't mean you are exempted from sharing the faith. Perhaps you take the St. Francis model of evangelism for a while. And that conversation happens because of how well you treat your colleagues or your boss. And maybe, just maybe, you might have the opportunity to get on the milk carton and preach hellfire and brimstone once in a while. So we're going to move on to verse 37 and 38. And I believe that is, the world needs good news. We are hurting. We as a society are hurting. And see, it says here in Luke 24, 37, 38, they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Now, I want to stop there that they saw a ghost. There is an obsession, I think, with the disciples and ghosts. Okay, every time you turn around, they get scared and they think there's a ghost that they see. So I think we should do a sermon on just that one Sunday. And he said to them, starting in verse 38, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Why do you have doubts? Again, the disciples had doubts. I think that is such an encouragement for us in 2021 who have never, in some ways, physically seen Jesus. See, this world needs Christ. The disciples were frightened and afraid, and often we find ourselves doing likewise. We discussed on Easter Sunday that the world needs good news, and this is found only through Jesus. Come down, Ricky Lee. I see you.
Daddy, love you.
I love you too. As Christians, the only truth, the only hope is found through the blood and resurrection of Christ. Hope is found for the father and mothers who can't provide for their family. The single mom who is struggling to raise her kids. The drug addict who cannot break free of that addiction. The gambler who has lost their home. The abused spouse who cannot break free. And every other situation that is out there, Jesus is the only hope this morning, brothers and sisters. Our Jesus, the good news that we can speak into the world, can change the lives of everyone. And it's the hope that we all need to hear. It's the assurance that when we die, we will have eternal life with Christ. The world needs this hope this morning. Because the unfortunate truth is, without Christ, we are condemned, we are frightened, and we are startled, not because of what God does, but because of what we do. Yet those disciples seem to be startled quite a bit. And no matter how much we try, we cannot fulfill the law by ourselves. If we were to get the Ten Commandments, like Ray Comfort in that picture had, and we were to go down the list, how many sins have we committed this week? As much as I try, I'm a sinner. Right? We are all tempted, and it's heavy. Sin is heavy. But I rejoice that God, Jesus Christ, can take away this heaviness and this burden on my life. This power that sin has over me. But it's a gift that only believers like you and me have the authority to share with the world. No one else can do it. We know the truth this morning. The truth of the greatest love story ever told. The good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. The world needs Jesus. Because without him, we have doubt. And with him, we have hope. And lastly, this morning, it's an act of peace and love when we share the good news, brothers and sisters. In verse 36, Jesus says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. People today need to hear that the gospel and have affirmation of God's peace and love in the world. And I believe this is our goal as believers, right? To love God with our whole heart and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Why would we not want to share this same peace with every single person we come in contact with? When I die, I don't want to not see those that I know condemned because I failed to share Jesus with them when I had the opportunity. And I know, especially as a pastor, that one day when I go before the Lord in judgment, that those I failed, I will be held accountable for. I want to see my loved ones. I want to see my family in heaven with me. I want to see my enemies in heaven with me, brothers and sisters. We want to see the people of God. So, we have to ask ourselves, are we more worried about fear of rejection from people, perhaps losing that job, than we are that the people that we love would be condemned to hell? I hope not. I hope you're willing to take some risk to share the love of God with people. We must share the good news. We're going to go back to the very first thing that I said, that it's a command from God to share the good news. And you know what? Those of you that are retired from the workforce, man, you guys have been given an incredible freedom to speak your mind, right? That's one thing I've seen about retirees being in Florida. They were never afraid to speak their mind. You guys can be some of the strongest evangelists in this church for Jesus. To go out without concern of the world and share his love. It's an incredible blessing that you have. To share the gospel with that next generation in a way that, in some ways, I can't. You're trusted. You can be, you know, the grandparents of some of these people. See, the church says, lastly, that we are to make disciples, right? Jesus tells us we are to make disciples, baptizing them and commanding them to do all things that Christ has commanded us to do. To go, therefore, preach the good news. We call this a ministry. And we're going to continue to emphasize, you were called into ministry at your baptism. While I may be a minister in the temple, that's the church, you are ministers in the marketplace, every single one of you. You're going to see people that I have no connection to, that they may never, ever come into this church or ever watch us online, but you see them every week. You have the opportunity to have an eternal reward for that person, and that is eternal life, right? They will see God in heaven upon their death. That's an amazing, amazing opportunity that you have. So let us pray as we go, therefore, and make disciples. God, we thank you for the opportunity to share the good news, to be a living witness for you of your love and mercy and grace to this world that is hopeless. God, that we can provide the hope only found in you. Help us, Father. Help us be obedient to that call. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.